comment on that, and I don't know how, Mayor, we handle that part of it as far as discussing that, but I just want to point that one piece out.
Okay.
Yeah, Chief Scales can provide additional information. That is a one-time cost, so yeah, but go ahead.
There we go. I'll let Chief Glazier explain what that $10,000 covers. That's a good question. The $10,000 for outfitting the vehicle was included in the $50,000 that was originally budgeted to purchase the vehicle.
I understand.
And to your point, the vehicle that we're getting rid of is a Dodge Durango, I believe, which is kind of a non-standard vehicle. The vehicles that we're trying to acquire are more standardized vehicles, so yes, a lot of that equipment can be transferred over to new vehicles. This one you can't.
If we get the same size vehicle, or if Ford or Chevy or whatever we have, GMs, I don't know what we have.
Right.
But if they change their model, then our cages in the back possibly won't fit. So my whole concern is now, I understand if we purchase the vehicle, the $50,000 was in the number. I got that. But if we lease the vehicle, we were leasing to say, hey, if Enterprise comes to us and say, you can sell it in 2 years, and I'm not going to say turn a profit, but you'll get more for it now and turn a profit, we've got a $10,000 nugget out there that we have to account for before we say we made a profit. And if they've changed the make and model or style, potentially it might not fit. So I'm not as comfortable as I used to be.
No, and I understand that. If we lease or purchase a vehicle, we still have to pay that outfitting fee. And like I said, the goal is to try and keep a standardized vehicle so we're not purchasing new equipment every single time. There's going to be changes with models and things like that. But for the most part, they stay fairly consistent because police departments around the country are doing the same thing with their fleets. So if we purchased the vehicle, outfitted it, kept it, we still have that cost either way.
Yeah, and we discussed, though, even with the gentleman from Enterprise, that potentially with the geographics of our town, we could get 6 years out of those on the engine hours. So if you do the math, I'd rather purchase and keep them for 6 years than go through the lease. And because, again, that $10,000, at least we can keep that $10,000 for 6 years compared to 3 years or 2 years and sell it. Because to me, when I heard that, that took the profit margin away, in my opinion. But just my opinion, Chief.
Yeah, Jeff Glazier, Pond Sunderland Police Department. So there's a lot of moving parts in this discussion, so I'm trying to kind of, I'm a visual learner, so I'm trying to visualize them all to get a good answer. So we are selling a 2020 Dodge Durango. So we will not be purchasing a Dodge Durango. So the cage in the vehicle won't fit our future vehicle, whether we lease or whether we buy. So we have to get a new cage. So that would be one thing. Maybe $1,500, maybe $1,800 for a cage. We keep the radios always. We always keep the radar equipment. The lights and sirens, we wouldn't keep 2020 lights and sirens. Just technology, LED versus the lights in a 2020 are so much better than they were 5 or 6 years ago. Plus, with our lease vehicles, we don't want to drill holes in the roof like we have in the Durango, because what we found is after 5 or 6 years, we start getting rust, we start getting leaks, just because we're so close to the beach. So in all of our leased vehicles, or even if we were to purchase a vehicle, we put the lights inside the vehicle. So we put them on the visor, we put them in the back window, so we don't have to drill in it. So at least for this current vehicle that we're going to sell, most of the equipment would be changed out anyways, other than the radio or the radar equipment. I would suspect that if we stayed with lease vehicles, then we would continue to put the equipment, the lights, the sirens, on the inside of the vehicle. And I would think that that could transfer a lot easier than outside of the vehicle. Whether the vehicle changed as a Chevy, a Silverado, a GMC, or a Ford, I would think we could transfer it probably simpler than putting it on top of the vehicle. But, I mean, in terms of overall price, I think there's several paths I can look at to try to make those savings. Obviously not guaranteed, but we can look at Enterprise and see what their upfitting costs are. versus our current upfitter that we use now, which also I think the fire department also uses them. And, you know, and our current upfitter doesn't really sell us anything. He just says, what do you need? What are you looking for? And obviously, I want to make the vehicle safe. I want to make it look like a Christmas tree on South Atlantic, whether it's the daytime or the nighttime. And so we just kind of give them those specs, and that's what we get the price. So I can certainly look at the different upfitters. I can look at the equipment that we put in the vehicle. You know, Whalen is a very big name for lights and sirens. We don't have to go with Whalen. We're not, you know, we're not sold on anyone. We just kind of go with what's, you know, best and safest out there. So there's a couple different paths I can look at for that $10,000 number. The graphics are about the same. I think we have the best company, the Image 360. They do just about everybody in Volusia County. Mm-hmm. Excellent company, excellent customer service. We can always change the graphics a little bit and try to bring those prices down. Those are probably the different paths I would look at. In terms of the lease versus the buy, I'm kind of agnostic on that. I would really have to sit down and look at the numbers to see what works better. I couldn't really figure it out here at the podium.
Yeah. Well, and let me make this statement. And from the way I recall our decision as a council, we left it up to Michael, to Dan, and to you to make the right business decision, whether we lease or whether we purchase. So I'm comfortable with that, but when I saw the $10,000 number, it did put up a red flag for me. So I'm comfortable with you three making that decision. So I'm not as comfortable. Dan, you grabbed me after the meeting last time and said, Councilman, I can't believe you've come around. Well, I did. Now I'm kind of sort of going back the other way. But that's why we pay you guys to make the decision. So thank you. I'm good with that.
Yes, sir.
Last thing, it was on page number 6. This is under the ambulance fees. 2324, we had an audited number of $275,000. In 2526, we have a budget number of $273,000. And again, this is where we do our transport, and this is where we receive, I'll say, income from using our equipment and our fire department and our medical services team going out and going into other municipalities. This is the money that we generate from their trips. My concern is we did not get it. We did get a percentage decrease from Volusia County on this last interlocal agreement. They dropped their admin fee to 7.5. What that meant was $11 to $12 per call, or $5,000 to $6,000 per year. My concern is our numbers are down from 2324. We continue to make investments in our EMTs and our fire department to backfill this part of the program, but our income is going down. Dan, is there a reason?
Well, we try and stay fairly conservative on the revenue projections. It's all predicated on call volume. And we've been fairly consistent over the years as far as revenue and call volume are concerned. The county does the billing for us, so it's also, you know, how good they are at getting their bills paid. So I think our call volume has stayed fairly consistent. I think we should be fine, but again, I don't want to overestimate revenue.
But again, fine. If we received a reduction of the admin fee, to me it should be projected upward, not downward. And again, we continue to make investments in our fire department, our EMTs, to cover other municipalities because of the interlocal agreement. But if our income starts going backwards, I think we need to take a hard look at it.
I understand.
That's
that.
My question.
No, I get it.
Okay. Last one, Michael, can you please explain the use of stipends?
Stipends, yes. Yes, stipends are paid to certain employees for doing extra work outside of their job description. In local government, and especially a small local government, lot of us have to wear many hats. We don't get to do just one job. And so if you pay for someone to do extra work outside of their normal job description, they get compensated for that. This was a system that was set up years ago. It was by my predecessor. And the financial benefit is the person gets whatever money for doing extra work. If they and by the way, that pays for any kind of extra hours that they may have to put in. That's not billed as overtime. It's paid out of that stipend. But having it separate like that instead of not part of the regular salary means that the multipliers in benefits that are typically based off salary, those don't occur. And so you get salary and benefits for your regular job, and then you get this extra money for doing this extra job on top of that. You know, these jobs are such that you wouldn't have, in larger organizations, you'd have one person doing that job. Yeah, but we don't have enough hours in the week to justify hiring someone just for that job. So you pay people to do extra work that still needs to be done. You know, it's kind of the reason, the same analysis of why we don't have an in-house attorney or engineer. You know, there's not 40 hours of work to be done. You know, so instead we pay the people that we have, and a lot of that is based on, you know, their aptitude, their interest. Do they even want to do it? And these are jobs that are not associated or even directly related to their normal job and what their job description is. But they may have a talent for it, and it's something that needs to be done. And so we pay them extra to do that job.
Okay. So are these extra tasks done inside their 40-hour normal work week? You better be careful.
They may be sometimes. It kind of depends on the priority. If something needs to be done now.
I'll bet you.
If something needs to be done now, for example, let's look at our PIO. If a message needs to go out now, you know, she's going to do it now. She's not going to wait until some other time. And so, you know, it just depends on the priority and what needs to get done.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. We've been spending since January working on this. Thank you for a great job. I'm not going to ask any questions. Just so that my proposed tax for Ponce Inlet went down almost $5. So that's one plus thing. The other thing, stipend supplement, same thing. We used it in the public sector for years. A supplement, I'm going to give you an example of one. My daughter is an ESE specialist at a high school in Roswell, Georgia, and to make ends meet, she works additional positions. She does future business leaders. She does Distributive Education Clubs of America. And this summer, the National Convention for the Future Business Leaders were in California. So in July, because she got that supplement, she was in California with those kids. We would not exist without supplements, stipends, whatever you want to call it, in the public sector. I mean, I would probably say that I had probably a fourth of my staff that were doing extra things. Some of it was during the school hours, but most of it was going to the workshops, taking them to make sure they're safe, making sure that all the paperwork the parents have signed. I mean, it's just a mind-boggling type job. So anyone that's willing to take a supplement or a stipend, I thank them 1,000 times over again. You wouldn't have a football team without supplements. You wouldn't have a basketball team. You wouldn't have a track team. You wouldn't have a cross-country team. You wouldn't have a golf team. Those are all supplemental positions. They're not full-time positions. They're supplemental positions. They are stipends. So we exist on the people that want to do extra, at least where I was employed.
Thank you. Vice Mayor.
Well, I want to echo what Joe started over there, because I've been through many, many budgets here in the town, and this is one of the best put together, easy to understand. I want to thank the staff and Michael for spending the time, because this has got a lot of hours in it. I mean, you got to be able to tell. But I will comment on the stipends. Just because stipends must be taxable, overtime is not. So with the new rule coming in, we probably need to review that to give the best end result to the employee that's doing that work. So I'm assuming that stipends are taxable at this point. The term overtime is not, or will not be. So thank you.
Thank you. And I have no questions. They've all been answered. I'm very appreciative, as I had indicated, of everybody's hard work. I know that. Now,
Mayor,
under
can I make
our
one comment, please? Mayor, can I make one comment, please, on the stipends? I'm not saying the stipends are wrong. I want people to understand what they are and why they have them. I'm not sitting here saying, Bill, they're wrong.
I can accept that.
But there's more to the story. But all I'm telling you is I'm not saying they're wrong. So don't take it that I'm saying we shouldn't be doing this.
The way I understood what you were saying, Skip,
I said, what are they?
You were questioning the need for stipends. That's the way I felt.
I said, Michael, can you explain what they are?
Well, hopefully the public now knows.
That's where I'm going.
All right.
Okay. We're ready for the public. And under our resolution of the rules of our meetings, each person has one opportunity to come up to the podium, speak for 5 minutes, and you must place your name and address on the record. And although your question may be relevant to a particular staff member, the question is initially directed to me as the chair. So, and when we are done with public comments, the matter will be brought back to the council and we will entertain motions relating to the budget. So, who would like to begin? There's a lot of you out there. Mr. Bryant, right?
Hi. Yes. Okay, first of all, I'd like to commend the employees of Ponce Inlet. I'm the Tennessee House on the ocean
Gary,
over
I'm
here.
Oh, Gary, I'm so sorry. Could you place your name and address on the record first? Just give your
My name.
My
name is Gary Bryant. My address is 4739 South Atlantic Avenue, and my home is the Tennessee home over there. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate all the hard work from the building department. They've been a pleasure to deal with. Been trying to build a seawall for 2 years. Took me 2 years to get a permit. Took me about a year to get a permit out of the state. It took me about 30 minutes to come down to Ponce Inlet. So congratulations on great service. I'm going to talk a little bit about, I don't understand this as a businessman. I think you should have been paying overtime to these employees. If they're working over 40 hours a week, I think the law is very clear. You owe overtime. Secondly, I don't understand the stifling. If we're paying this employee to work for us for 40 hours, they should be working for 40 hours. What you have them doing, that's what you should tell them what to do. That's the way I ran my business, and I think that's how the real world works. But I'm not here to talk about that. I really aren't. I want to talk about the safety on A1A over here. And I don't know how many of you have children, grandchildren, but I do. I have both, children and grandchildren. And I have a wonderful home. And I spend about 60% of my time now on that house and another house in Lake Mary. And I'm very proud of my home. And I have a lot of visitors come to my home. But if you ever come down A1A over here at night and it's raining, it's pitch black where we live. It's pitch black. I called Lois about 2 years ago, and I had bigger fish to fry with the state over my seawall than I had at the time to fight over lights. But now it's time for this community to do something about safety on A1A. When I turn on Dunlawton and come down through, Daytona Beach Shores, they've not only got two street lights, one on each side, low lights, but they have a big light. So they've got three sets of lights there. We don't even have one set of light here, because I understand the great county turns off our lights. It makes a dangerous environment. Now, that road over there, everybody who goes on it knows that it needs to be raised up, widened, but the county is not going to do that because it's going to cost too much money. But if this council will support putting something in the budget, if not this year, it's too late, I understand that. Put it in for next year. But we should be able to be represented to Volusia County just equal to Daytona Beach Shores. That's all I'm asking, to be equal. I don't want to be discriminated against because I have a nice home in Ponce Inlet, and they've got lights up there that creates an environment of safety, and we don't have those lights. Excuse me. We do have those lights. They just won't turn them on. That's wrong. Now, let's get to the sea turtle issue. Lights. Every time you talk about lights in Ponce Inlet or anywhere over here, it's the sea turtles. The sea turtles are causing us not to have lights. Well, how do they have them in Daytona Beach Shores? How do they have them in Daytona Beach? We don't have them, do we? I don't understand that. I pay my taxes. They pay their taxes. I appreciate some lights. So I'm asking this council to think about this. If you're coming down A1A and it's dark and it's raining, and you have a turtle coming out on the left-hand side of the road, and you have a 60-year-old senior citizen coming out on the right-hand side of the road in the crosswalk, and you realize that you got to hit one of them, you're going to hit one of them. Are you going to choose the turtle, or are you going to choose your granddaughter? That's my issue. My issue is not with sea turtles. Believe me, I've had plenty of issues with sea turtles living on the ocean. And I don't have lights, okay, that I'd like to have because of sea turtles. But listen, we should have lights on A1A in the streets to protect our citizens. And that's all I'm asking for. If you can put some money in this budget, great. I'm not asking you to. All I'm asking you to do as a council is let's get unified. If you tell me that, Mr. Bryant, I don't want those lights over there, I'll walk away. The question is, do you want those lights over there? If you do, I'll do anything I can do to help you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bryant. Thank you for coming this evening.
Can I say something to that?
Of course.
Please? I really would love to. Mr. Bryant, I live in Lighthouse Village in the little townhouses south of you. Back in 2004, quick story, 2004, I got a letter from Volusia County and the Turtle Patrol. They were fining Lighthouse Village $10,000 because we had lights facing our three parking lots, the pole lights. There was one facing out and one facing in. They gave me 10 days to get those lights turned off. We had to turn them off. They've never been turned back on. We actually put lights in our parking lots because, but I just had to throw that out. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Can't talk anymore.
But thank you for being here. Who else would like to come up and speak?
Well,
Mr. White.
I would like to see that presentation when Matt Reinhardt is here, who is our representative on the county council. So. I'd love to hear you tell him what you just told us.
We may have that arranged, Gary. We may. Mr. White.
Shannon White, 39 Coastal Oak Circle. My first question is about workers' comp. There's proposed a 17% increase in the cost of workers' comp. My experience is that's based on experience. Have we had a number of claims in the past year or two that has caused that type of increase?
Kim, you want to address that? The answer is yes, but yeah.
Workers' comp is, when it's done, it's based off of so many years. One of our good years has dropped off. And another year has taken its place. So, yes, it has caused a little bit of an increase.
But the number of issues?
There has been a couple, yes.
A couple this year or last year?
It's through the years. It's based off the last 3 years or 4 years, I believe. So when one falls off, the other one comes on.
Okay. I understand that we're... going to implement a 3% increase across the board for salaries and 7.5% for our police and fire. But the calculations I came up with were The fire was 10%. Are they getting the 3% initial base and then a 7.5% added to that?
I do believe, Mike? Okay.
Oh, you want me to answer that one? Okay.
Yeah.
No, they are getting the 7.5. Mm-hmm. If you, well, you'll need to go to, the adopted current budget that's in here is not the number you need to look at. What you need to look at is in what I have in this year's prior, as I base it off what was adopted on October 1st of 2024.
I'm not going to sit here and recalculate.
But it's only 7.5, and I'm more than happy to show you.
Okay. Well, to that point, I mean, in the last 2 years, we've seen a $200,000 increase in both the fire and the police. And I know that we've added some people, but $200,000 in our increase in those two departments, that's the biggest increase that we've had. Yet, again, our town has virtually we have no growth. So, and then that doesn't include overtime, benefits, the chief's salaries, any incentives, auto land. This is just salaries. That's a staggering number that, you know, we need to understand where those numbers are actually coming from and how to mitigate maybe some of it. But I'm concerned about that. The other thing is that there's this tree proposal. We have budgeted $16,000 for this year, and the stuff that we're seeing out there, we're talking about, you know, $300,000 to do a replanting of our town. Some of the places that they're talking about putting them behind the community center, down Beach Street. I mean, we got utility lines. I mean, I'm not a consultant, but I got common sense. And you're looking at 28 trees down Beach Street in a 2-3 block measurement, and you got power lines. We're talking about stormwater, and you're going to put 28 trees, palm trees. They're not going to mitigate any stormwater. You know, if anything, we need to put a ditch in there. So I'm not sure what our parameters, what we're looking for when we're talking about spending $300,000 plus.
Mr. White, are you talking about the draft tree planting plan?
Yes.
Okay, that's a draft only. That hasn't been presented to this council. It's not included in this budget.
Okay, well, there's $16,000.
That is revenue that will be taken in. That is revenue that we get from trees when people are not able to plant.
Oh, okay.
They don't have enough room in their property.
Okay.
To plant trees to replace what they've cut down. The code says that they have an option to pay into this tree mitigation bank. So out of that, we are proposing only $4,000 to be used to plant various trees where they may be needed. So that planting plan, it sounds like you may have seen a draft copy of that. That is not public yet. So that hadn't been released or discussed in public, and it is not.
Okay, but we have spent money on that proposal.
We spent money to create the plan, but like I said, that work is still in progress and is not final.
Okay.
So, and what I have reviewed that, just so you know, and one of my comments was that we need to take another look and make sure this is prioritized. I mean, there's no plan in there to plant it. I mean, these are just raw numbers. I mean, that is the literally first draft of that plan that you're commenting on.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. White. Mr. Corney? Yeah, please.
Evening, Mayor. John Carney, 38 Coastal Oak Circle. Just a few things. I mean, one thing is on the discussion as far as the millage rate goes. I think the millage rate is important, and I'm certainly encouraged to hear Mr. Disher say that he's got a target of bringing that down below 6% again. But the bigger concern is the overall budget chart, which is the millage times the property value assessments. And so if you look at that chart, that tells really a different story. It's not flat at all. And in fact, if you go from, you know, fiscal 2021 until this year, that's up about 72%, right? So that's not flat. That's not even in the ballpark of flat. In addition to that, if you look at the consumer price index over that same period, that's under 25%. So, you know, we got a long way to go. If we're going to get those curves to match back up, if we want to take the budget back then and accelerate it by the consumer price index and try to catch back up with that, we're going to have to bring our spending down dramatically. And I don't see any effort to really make that happen. So definitely bringing the millage rate down is helpful, but that doesn't get us there. And I think that the budget numbers, to me, it's kind of like if you're driving your car and you see that the temperature gauge is pegged on red, you know, that tells you there's a problem. And this budget, when you look at it, you look at those top line numbers, that direction of that curve, it tells you there's a problem. But it doesn't really explain what the problem is. So that's what your job is as a council, is to figure out, why do we have a problem? Why is the budget going up so much more dramatically than the overall inflation rate, given that we don't have much population growth? And so when you look at that, you know, I just challenge you to start trying to figure out what's going on with this budget process. And to me, having a bottom-up budget process, I've talked to you about this before, really isn't in the best interest of the taxpayers, because all I see is more spending, and I see spending beget spending. So we hire more people. So we've got more people to do more jobs, and Mr. Disher's point about the stipends, so if we have more people to do more jobs, then there shouldn't be as many stipends, because we should have more people whose day job it is to do those things. But I don't think we've seen stipends come down. You know, we have police officers who get a vehicle allowance, and that might be customary since a lot of jurisdictions let their police officers take vehicles home. But I don't really know of anybody else that's paying vehicle allowances to office workers and to firefighters. I haven't seen anybody take a fire truck home. And so I don't know why, you know, we pay these kind of things. It just doesn't make any sense to me as a taxpayer. You know, we spend a lot of money on IT. I'm not seeing efficiencies out of IT. And I sent you guys some questions this morning on some of the IT budget things. But, I mean, we've got a very expensive bill for internet and for phone services. And are we taking efficiencies in phones, for example? I mean, a lot of businesses, you can walk in, they don't have a Cisco phone on their desk anymore that we used to all pay rent for. The phone runs through the computer, and it's got the same phone number. If somebody called from the outside, it looks just the same. But the cost to the company is essentially zero because it's built into their internet service. You know, so there's things we can do to achieve efficiencies, but I just don't see them being done. You know, and as we add labor to the staff, I think we need to take advantage of some places to gain efficiencies. You know, we have budget items in Public Works to go do some painting, and we're hiring two new staff members. I mean, to me, those guys could take on that painting for us this year and save us some money. But again, I think he just gets back to incentives. We've got to have the town. I have full confidence in Mr. Disher. I think if he's given the right incentives to flow down to his department heads, you know, they can make things work. They're the ones that have to figure out how to do the work. You guys aren't the ones that have to figure that out. You're not the ones that can really figure out where the levers can be to make the budget more efficient, make the town run more efficiently. But they are, you know, but they've got to be given that challenge, and they've got to be given the freedom to go out and find those things and bring them to us. So I'd hope that you would consider that and really try to figure out, you know, where can we work together to get the town to operate more efficiently so that the taxpayer, you know, incentives are aligned with the town employee incentives, and we're all kind of pulling the same direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carney.
Sorry, can I address one thing on the police vehicles? That was me. I was a resident sitting right back there, and this is back whenever Janine Witt was our town manager, and we were having trouble hiring police officers. And again, as a citizen, I can talk to officers all day long, and they can tell me what's going on with them. And one of the reasons we were losing police officers to other municipalities was our pay rate at that time, and most municipalities allow their officers to take their vehicles home. And I said, first of all, if I was a police officer, I would not want to take the vehicle home, because this is back when things were really crazy and people were targeting the police officers. So I said, Janine, I know we can't afford to hire or have or buy police vehicles for every officer that we have to take home. Have we ever considered doing a car allowance? She said, Skip, that's a wonderful idea. That will help us in our package for our police officers. So, John, that was me, and I still stand by it because that has put together the entire package for our police department, and it allows us to recruit more officers that we do not have a chance of getting them a vehicle on their own. So I just wanted to make sure that was out there.
If I could comment, maybe you misunderstood my questions. I understand that, and I don't have a problem with that. It's the rest of the vehicle allowances that I'm questioning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carney. Mr. Fields.
Steve Fields, 6 Marzal. I sent in a chart that I wanted all the council to look at. John addressed it some, but it's in one chart you can look and you can see exactly where we're at, and it's not a pretty picture. Based on CPI, we were overspending by $2.7 million over the last 4 years, but I just wanted to point that out. You know, I asked Mr. Disher, and we have a disagreement, and that's okay. I'm okay with disagreements, but I just wanted to point out that typically when you have a budget review, the prior years are not the budget, but the actual. So you know what you spent in the prior years, so you can understand what you're going to spend next year. So I guess I was told by Mr. Disher that would take a lot of time, but I've been retired 10 years, and I'm not well-versed in PowerPoint anymore, but I know these two young ladies over here could do it very quickly, make that chart very quickly, showing what we've actually spent over the last 5 years versus the budgets, just for FYI. Now, if you go back to page 11 of 18 of Mike's handout, you have the Quint loan payment of $210,000. You have $50,000 for the fire station. You have $157,000 for building P. You have stormwater improvements of $360,000, and you have stormwater pond storage. If I add that up, that's $851,000 going against the land acquisition fund. We only have $645,000 in there. Just FYI.
That amount is the reserve that's currently in reserve. That doesn't account for what's going to be coming in next year.
I figured that, but that just at the same time, certainly we thought we had that in the reserve, and we don't have it in reserve yet. Looking at the numbers, I sat down with Mike and the staff, and I was very surprised that we don't have a formal review of each individual budget on a regular basis. It doesn't have to be every month, but every couple of months, maybe once a quarter, once a half, that someone should sit down and review with the budget holders exactly where they are in the budget. But Mike tells me they don't do that. I was very surprised, very surprised. Certainly that's not how you do business in the private sector. Just to confirm, there's no cost in next year's budget for the compensation study or the tree replacement study, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, you're talking about the salary study. That is not included in next year's budget.
Okay. Then I heard something that we said that the backhoe was paid for this year. Was it paid for against the general ad valorem, or was that paid out of a reserve?
Refresh my memory. That did not come out of general fund. That came out of, I believe, some of our savings accounts.
That was a transfer from the Economic Impact Fund, which was the ARPA funds we had received. It came out of those reserves at mid-year.
Okay, I was just curious. I mean, I was just curious whether...
It didn't come out of general fund.
Okay. All right. So just, I have a question about stipends. I never worked in payroll, so I'm not an expert on payroll, but do we provide the individuals with a 1099? I believe that's a tax problem.
That is not a 1099. That is added onto their W-2.
It's added onto their W-2?
Yes.
But you don't, they have to pay FICA on that then,
no,
right?
Yes.
But then, so do we also, right?
Yes.
Okay, I thought I heard in the presentation we didn't pay FICA, and I was just curious. Okay, so we are it's in a W-2, and everyone, we got this FICA,
yes,
squared away. That's not what I heard in the presentation. Maybe I misheard. And I have a handout that I'd like to share with you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I only have a couple seconds here, but if you look, the ad valorem tax objectives for this year, $8.2 million. Actual spend through July was at a rate of 77.63%. The budget, based on the budget, we should have been at 83.3%. So we're under budget by 5.7%. Assuming total year underspend remains the same, we would be underspent by $467,000. The proposed ad valorem for next year is 8.366, right? If we went back to the ad valorem historical rate, 5.9 or 5.98, the budget ad valorem for next year would be about 7.9. That delta between what we presented today and is about $463,000. My point being here, if we rolled it back, the underspend in the general fund for this year would more than cover the going back to the 5.9, or I'll even go with the average, Mike. I didn't know what the average was, but you ought to look at that, because I know it's not a whole lot of money, but everyone is, there's a lot of people here living on Social Security or slightly, and the Social Security next year is probably going to be about 2.3%, or 2.5%. You know, even what you've done here, based on the CES values, went up by almost 3.5%. So that already was played into the budget. So you already got a 3.5% increase. If you put that on top of what you're actually going to spend this year, it wouldn't even get to the 7.9.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fields. Is there anybody else in the public who wished to speak? Barbara.
Barbara Davis, before you start the clock, could I have 20 seconds about the turtles?
20 seconds about the turtles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before you start the clock. So there was a lawsuit in federal court that went on for 5 years. It's called Loggerhead Sea Turtle versus Volusia County. The turtle won. So basically, a lot of the lawsuit was about the lights. So the county, how they measure it, the reason the shores can have lights on, they go to the beach, they see if the lights come through. If you can see the lights, it has to be turned off because it will disorient turtles. So by federal law, the county has to comply with that, or they can just come in and hold the county in contempt, because there's a whole litany of these lawsuits, loggerhead sea turtle. So basically, the county's hands are tied. if that light is shining on the beach and can disorient turtles, and it's only between May and November that they do that.
I'll send you the logs. Talk offline, that would be great. Okay. Barbara, but, yes.
Barbara Davis, 4871 Sailfish Drive. So the bottom line for us is this. This is the budget that keeps going up. And it's, I think Matt Reinhart said it best when he said, even though we're going to plateau the county taxes, if your property values are going up, you're going to pay more. Okay, so even though we try to plateau, our property values are still going up. And so we ran the numbers, and I sent this to you in a memo, for the last several years. We went up $4,597,000 between 21 and 25. We went up for another $4,316,000 between 21 and now. So we are still, we went up 72% between 21 and 25. We are still up 67.9% since 21. Now, you ask, where did all that money go? Well, we were looking at the salary surveys, and we asked the staff for incentives. We got many, many sheets of stipends, incentives, auto allowances, et cetera. One example, here is fire department incentive pay, total $102,480. These are the documents that the town gave us. So you run the numbers on an Excel spreadsheet. We have 72 employees for a town of less than 3,500 people. Our chart looks like this. This is our town employee chart. How much is this costing us? Okay, so the total amount for employees in the base salary, $4,436,000. Now, you start adding stipends and incentives. The incentives are $133,000, $799. So $134,000 in incentives. You look for at stipends, $59,500, so $60,000 in stipends. You look at vehicle allowances, $58,780. You start looking at cell phone allowances. We give retirement, which the FRS system keeps going up. We also give life, health, disability, vision, dental. Okay, the cost of those extra benefits is $707,276,000. So the bottom line is we are comparing ourselves to other towns, but the amazing amount above the base salary, you come to $6,957,000. So you crunch those numbers of all the stipends over that includes overtime, benefits, stipends, everything. Our employees are costing us close to $7 million. And if y'all haven't gotten these papers of the overtime, the vehicle allowances, vehicle allowances themselves were up around $50,000. So it all adds up. The bottom line to us is, do we need to spend that much money? Our priority, I'll tell you the truth, is resiliency and infrastructure. If we can do that with a lot less employees, that would be wonderful to us. I made a list of our what we've done for our resiliency plan. I also found the draft I was telling you about for implementation. Right at the top of this draft is that the first 2.5% must be retained on site. We haven't done that. Our public works building, it's torn down now. That needs to be a priority. We need to cut this budget. There is so much spending, and it's not on what we need to do. I mean, like I said last time, I've been here 75 years. It has never flooded. We have never had to spend $70 million on beach restoration like Tom Rutledge came in and said, that the ocean is 50 feet from Atlantic, which means if something been done, we're not getting out of here. That has never happened before. I think we need to prioritize. We need to look carefully at everything that is spent. Bring this budget down. I mean, it's not coming down until everybody gets a grip on how much to spend. And make our priorities getting that public works building done and the fire department retrofitted for flooding.
Thank you. Is there, yes, Mr. Lang.
Michael Lang, 4366 South Atlantic Avenue. Mike, I liked your presentation. Was that sent out beforehand to, was that presentation distributed to, like I get emails with, you know, the materials?
Yeah, we're going to put this on the website.
But I guess before the meeting, is it possible, because even last week, we had, or not last week, but the last meeting, we had a presentation by MGT and didn't have the benefit of seeing that before the meeting. And just to be more informed would be good to see.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, there were some initial drafts, you know, that were prepared and were distributed. But, yeah, I was working on this until, like, right before the meeting.
Hey, you're always honest. Don't worry about it. I just a suggestion.
Yeah, sure.
Is in this presentation, is there a slide of anything that puts a sort of a summary together of the cost containment initiatives that are going on in the town?
Not per se, but there's the slide on millage rates that shows the average. You know, and we've discussed previously, our goal is to return to that. I mean, the last 3 years, going back to 22-23, I mean, to me, those were anomalies. I mean, that's, if we had kept steady, we wouldn't be in this situation. You know, one of the things that we get asked about is, you know, where is the money going? I showed you the two other slides about, in the past two budget years, we were talking about level of service. And that was essentially to try to catch up to where we needed to be. We didn't present a level of service high-low choice because we feel like we have caught up. We are where we need to be. Past that, I mean, then that's the point. Now that we've taken care of what we need to take care of, we can start looking to try to make this more efficient and reduce costs.
I'm sorry, I looked at my watch while you were talking. That wasn't, I got text, sorry.
Yeah, you're fine.
But yeah, I appreciate all that. I would just recommend, it'd be nice to have a slide that says, in addition to the money we're requesting to spend, here are the areas that we're actually trying to save money. It's just a suggestion. Slide 23, could you go to that real quick? So if I'm reading this right, if you look at mid-year, the staff positions, new staff positions, 2023 mid-year, 2024 mid-year. If you count that up, and that's 1 year, that's what, eight people in 1 year added to the staff? Was there a specific reason? And I'm limited with my time here, so maybe we can talk about this later.
Sure.
Go ahead. Well,
no, I can answer you now. No, I mean, they're the firefighters, the slide shows, that was per our accreditation process. I mean, you know, then that was a multi-year thing that began in 2021.
So you had to hire them because of the accreditation?
That was, the council made a commitment to follow those goals. I mean, so it's to become accredited, it requires a certain number of things. So that was part of that. I mean, these were...
Is one of
I'm
those
sorry?
Things?
Yeah.
That you had to have a certain staffing level. I'm not familiar with it.
I'll just say this. We're not required to be accredited, but that was a goal of the town council
the accreditation,
for this department.
But is
to,
the staffing level, there's a staffing level that goes along with the accreditation. Is that right?
Yeah. I don't want to step on Chief Scales' toes here, but yeah, I mean, you could go into it. I mean, that was part of the recommendations.
Okay.
Yeah. So these are deliberative processes. Yeah, the police, that was requested by council. Some of these others in 2023, especially, that was a need of staff. That was something that we requested because positions had been cut and we were left without the people to actually do the work that we're required to do. So it's a combination of things.
It's just it's more than a 10% increase in a year in staffing. That's big for any organization. So just an observation. Could we go to slide the slide that has the pie chart you were just on, I think it was 29. So there's, is that it? Revenues? Yeah, interest earnings, 2% on interest on, I guess that's $10 million. Where's the money? Is it sitting in a, I mean, you get 4% on a money market, right?
Yeah, so, I'll let our finance team answer that one.
Okay, that 2% is just 2% of the total general revenue. So we have several different investment types. And if you look at our monthly financial report that's on the website, we list all the investments. So we have CDs that range from most of them around 4 or 5%. None of our CDs are 2% right now.
Well, I guess just from a big picture perspective, because I'm limited with time. I'm not trying to rush you. You guys are great with answering questions, but like, why is it 2% if we're earning 4? I mean, you can get 4 in a money market, right? So there's got to be a simple answer.
Yeah, that's just
maybe we lost money on some investments or something.
I can't read that. Thank you.
It's 2%.
It's 2% of the general fund revenue.
Yes.
So
$10 million. 2%
okay.
Is
okay.
Like, why is it 2%? That's, we don't have to answer it right now, but that just seems low.
Yeah, well, we have like a local government investment pool. We have $2.8 million in that. That earns 4.27% okay. interest. We have money market accounts that range from 3% to 4%, several different accounts. And then we have CDs that range from 3.75%, and we ladder them. So some have been 36 months. 12 months, 18 months, and then we have one 5%. So
everything you mentioned is above 2%.
Yes.
So
you are misreading the chart. It's 2%.
Okay. Educate me.
No, it's 2% of the total revenue.
Understood.
Which is the total number of what we make. There's no interest mentioned at that point in time.
But you still have a general fund that's earning. Every year we've got a general fund and the balance is $7, $8, $9, $10 million, right? Is that true? We've got a general fund with money in it, right?
Right.
And is that slice representing the earnings from that money?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And everything you just mentioned is higher than 2%.
Right.
So,
there is an exception. We have our Truist Bank checking account, which that has several different accounts in it. We have to have an SRF reserve. We have payroll. And there's fees with that. And every city, every municipality has to have, you pay for those services, for fraud control, all kinds of services. So that part of the money that we have to keep in there to prevent us from paying bank fees, we do not get
a
high percentage.
Some of it then.
So that explains
so
quite a bit
see,
of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending
on
how much money. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Then the last thing was, if you look at this budget report that came out first, it's page 16. I know we've got a director of IT, and we also have a technician who works in IT. And just to bring home this stipend issue for me, it says there's if you look at IT's budget, there's $10,000 stipend for additional responsibilities regarding IT and also website maintenance. So my only comment there is those sound like IT responsibilities to me. So shouldn't that be part of his job description or her job description and not a separate stipend?
Okay. Yeah, okay. I can answer that.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, those are paid to people.
I've got 1 second left,
okay.
Mike.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Those are paid to people that actually work outside of the IT department to assist with IT functions, one of whom is our public works office manager. She also gets a stipend for also serving as the IT department office manager. that helps with all purchasing, accounting, budgeting, that sort of thing. So she gets a little bit of extra money in addition to her job to do that as well. The other goes to another one of our staff to help with the website maintenance. That's basically posting things on the website, making sure the website is taken care of. And that's funded out of that IT budget.
IT.
So that doesn't go to our IT staff.
Gotcha. Goes to other people that are doing IT work for, okay. Thank you.